Let's take a moment to pray, just as we remain seated. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would grant us the help of your Holy Spirit, that now as we look at your word together, we would have our eyes opened, our hearts warmed, and our minds activated. We pray, Lord, that we would hear your word and do what you say, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you follow soccer very much. I know some of you do avidly, and some of you are very much avoid it. So there was a remarkable result yesterday. Not very good for my team, but just to set the background, if you didn't know, Liverpool have been winning in the English Premier League all season. They've had a remarkable run, 18 matches in a row. They haven't been beaten for more than a year. But yesterday, they lost 3-0 to Watford, a lowly team at the bottom of the table. And so it was a shocking result, a 3-0 shock result. And whether you care about that or not, we should care about something else which we've just read, which is another startling 3-0 victory. A startling 3-0 victory in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and the result was Jesus 3, Satan 0. Jesus 3, Satan 0. I'm talking about the temptation in the wilderness when our Lord Jesus Christ was led by the Holy Spirit to go into this deserted place, and for 40 days and 40 nights he had no food. The devil came to test and tempt him, and three times tried to knock him off course, to blow him off track, and to get him to disobey God. And every time, the Lord Jesus refused to succumb to those temptations. Jesus 3, Satan 0. And that amazing result is actually, it was actually a rematch. It was a replay. Because right at the beginning of human history, in Genesis chapter 3, we're told that there was another test, another temptation, where Satan came to Adam and Eve in the garden to tempt them. And that time the result was very different. They succumbed, they fell, they listened to the devil's lies, and they sinned. And from Genesis 3 onwards, all through human history, all through the pages of the Bible, you see the results of that fall, of that great mistake, which each human being generation since then has repeated, where we've turned from the Lord's way. So the beginning of the Old Testament, Adam and Eve are tested and they fail. Beginning of the New Testament, Jesus is tested and he succeeds. And there's actually quite a lot of overlap between the two temptations, the two tests. Think about it for a minute, what happened in each of them. In both cases, it was a temptation to, first of all, to eat something that they weren't to eat. So Adam and Eve were tempted to eat the fruit on the tree, which they had been told to leave well alone. The Lord Jesus was tempted to turn stones into bread so that he could satisfy his physical hunger. And then second, in both cases, there was a temptation to try to cheat death. So the devil told Adam and Eve, if you eat the fruit, you will not surely die. Even though God had said, when you eat that fruit, you'll die. So they're tempted to think that they can cheat death. And Jesus as well, he was led to the very highest point of the temple, and the devil said, throw yourself down from here, and God will rescue you. A temptation to try to cheat death. And then also, in each of the temptations, both times, there's a temptation to have power and riches beyond what they had experienced to that point. The snake comes and says to Adam and Eve, when you eat that fruit, you will be like God. You will be like God. Amazing temptation that he dangles in front of them. And he says to Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, you can have all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor if you bow down and worship me. as if that was a small thing, a detail. All the kingdoms of the world, all their splendor. So in both cases, there's temptation to eat for something forbidden, to somehow cheat natural processes of life and death, and a temptation to have power, wealth, and riches on the basis of a lie. And the results are very, very different, of course, in both cases. And really, when you drill down to it, at the heart of both of those temptations is exactly the same thing. The question, is God's word reliable? Can you trust what God has said? That's at the very heart of it. Because the devil says to Adam and Eve, did God really say not to eat that fruit? He's casting doubt on God's word. And that the root of Jesus' victory is when he says three times, it is written, and he quotes and uses the word of God. So the real battle is over whether is God's word reliable? Can you trust what God has said? That's at the heart of it. That's the fundamental thing. By believing and obeying what God has said, are you standing on solid ground or are you missing out on something that would be better if you turned away from God's word? And so in both cases, the devil is playing on their fears. You know, we do have a great fear of missing out, don't we? We have a great fear that we might, by choosing one particular thing, we might be missing out on something that's better. Maybe you've had the experience where you've been eating out at a wedding or gone to a restaurant for dinner, and the menu is there, and here's these choices, and you think, oh, I wish I could just have them all. You know, I suppose if you go to Harvey's Point, they just lay it all out in front of you, and you just pile the plate up high. But most times, you've got to choose, and you think, oh, if I have the fish, then I won't get to have the beef, you know. And if I have the chicken, then I won't get to have the fish. And oh, it's very difficult. You might be missing out on something. And of course, doesn't matter what you choose for your dinner when you go to one of those places, but the fear of missing out. And that's the way temptation often comes to us, that fear that if we might be missing out on something more interesting, more exciting, if only we would turn away from those old rules of what God has said. So let's apply this to ourselves now. Let's apply this to ourselves, because Jesus gives here an example for us to follow. And he also gives, of course, he's also a savior for us to trust. So first of all, he's an example for us to follow, because temptation is something that we all face in our lives. We're all tested every day. And sometimes people have joked about that. Oscar Wilde said, you know, I can resist anything except temptation. And sometimes the advertisers even will make a joke about temptation. I remember an advertisement a few years ago for a type of yogurt. And it was supposedly particularly tasty or creamy or whatever. And in the advert, there was a character dressed up as the devil with horns and red outfit and a tail on him. And, you know, offering, here, have this yogurt. You know, it's so nice. And as if temptation was something that was just a wee bit funny. But in fact, it's serious, because temptation is an attempt to derail us from God's good purposes. It's an attempt to make us accept something that's second best, although it's wrapped up beautifully. The temptation that comes to Jesus and to all of us is like a dishonest car dealer who wants you to trade in your reliable, faithful motor for something that looks like a shiny new model, but actually it's an old rust bucket and it's just been sprayed over. For example, we're tempted maybe to tell a little lie on a form that we're filling in so that we might get a little bit more money from something or other. And it's dangled in front of it. Look, you could gain this extra money. And yet what would we lose? We would lose our integrity. Or we're tempted to engage in some sexual activity outside of the boundaries which God has set. And yes, we would gain enjoyment, pleasure, but we'd have lost our purity. Or we're tempted to borrow something that belongs to someone else and just kind of forget to give that thing back. And maybe we would gain something useful, but we would have lost our reliability. And you could go on and on like that. Temptation offers us something that seems attractive, but underneath, in fact, we're losing out. It's like the juicy worm on the fisherman's hook. Underneath is the danger. Somebody put it very nicely like this. Very nice little proverb, little saying. There's always free cheese in a mousetrap. There's always free cheese in a mousetrap. It's a nice one, isn't it? There it is. Very attractive. Lovely piece of cheese. Go and nibble on that. But of course, snap. And the mouse is trapped. Temptation is the real danger. And Jesus Christ overcame it by the word of God, by standing on what was written, what he had learned at his mother's knee, and he now used in that moment of need. We need to be learning God's word, and we need to be teaching it to young people and to one another. At the very least, the Ten Commandments. Do you remember them? You learned them when you did your confirmation. Do you remember them? If I ask you now, what's the sixth commandment? What's the eighth commandment? Would you remember? What's the sixth commandment? Very close. Shall not murder. Very good. What's the ninth commandment? Yeah, we need to revise, don't we? We need to revise. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. The ones that were confirmed recently, they know it. Yeah? What's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. Very good. Yeah, I know. You know it. You know it. You're just a bit shy today. You know them. We need to have those commandments deep down, don't we? Learned. And other helpful verses as well. Like in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Or 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you're tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Or James chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And of course, the Lord's Prayer itself, lead us not into temptation. So there's a great deal that we can do to store up the word of God in our hearts, so that at a time of temptation and testing, it will be there as a shield and a protection, so that our minds will be more likely led away from what's wrong to cling to God's way. It is written, is what Jesus says. But then finally, as I finish off, Jesus is not only our example to follow in temptation, but he's also the Savior for us to trust. We'll never perfectly overcome temptation in this life. Okay? Just in case you were thinking, nobody is going to be without sin. Everybody is going to get this wrong. We're all going to fail. We're all going to fall. We're all like Adam and Eve. We're all going to get it wrong at times. There's a story about a preacher called Charles Spurgeon, and he was quite a famous preacher in the 19th century. And he once met a man who claimed to be without sin. This man said that he no longer sinned. And the man said that he was an entirely new creation, and the old had gone altogether, and the old man was dead within him, and he was totally new, and he no longer sinned. And Spurgeon, the great preacher, was a wee bit doubtful about this, and so he got a cup of water and threw it on the man. And immediately he started to rage and to threaten and to curse and all these kind of things. And Charles Spurgeon said, I had a feeling that the old man wasn't dead. He was just sleeping and some cold water would quickly wake him up. Well, the point being that nobody is without sin except one, except Jesus Christ alone. And so we need him as our Savior. He's our example to follow, and he's the Savior we trust. He went through that wilderness for us. He went to the cross to pay for our sins, every one of them. We need to trust him to be forgiven by him. We need to be rescued by him. He came not only as a fine example for us to follow, but as an eternal Savior for us to trust. And so, isn't that wonderful news? That in the wilderness of this life, there is someone utterly reliable that we can look to and that we can cling to and who is always ready to forgive. There is even more forgiveness in him than there is sin in us. What a wonderful Savior. Jesus 3, Satan 0. A great result, a wonderful victory, which we need to delight in and cling to. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Help us to believe and trust in him today and always. Amen. We're going to sing in praise of him now, number 92, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds.